I think that it's the matter of to understand or not to understand. For example, sitting here now, understand or not understand. See, not understand is to do anything which cannot understand reality right now. But by hearing and considering moment to moment, it will bring more understanding. And that is conditions for right awareness. Otherwise, there's no conditions for the arising of right awareness at all. One just dream about having it when it's not the right one because of no understanding enough.
When I'm here, all of that seems right. But when I'm not here...
So that one can see one's own accumulation of the right path and the wrong path. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you don't mind the name at all, just listen what is right and what is not right.
It's probably just that wanting to understand quickly, I think. It's just craving. I think it's probably because I didn't come to Buddhism until about 5 or 6 years ago, with so much of life gone.
The teachings teaches one to know, to understand, or to get something, or to get, to know. So it's the matter of studying and listening and considering in order to know, that's all.
Having patience. Yeah. And lately I've been sort of fissuring around into other things that seem to be authoritative, if it's an ordained bhikkhu, promising a quicker way. I think that's what it is.
Now you know whether there is a quicker way or not.
You're a very strong-minded person of independent thought, so the more you keep saying, oh, but the bhikkhu says such and such and he's an ordained person, I mean, that's nothing to do with it. It's all because you're hearing what appeals to you.
That's true. If time is really short, then it's all the more important to understand about present dharmas and not be misled and follow every track that appeals to one.
Place to hide here, isn't it?
That was Venerable Damataro's thing. Oh, it's either too hot or too cold, or too wet or too dry, or too hungry, I'm too tired.
Tomorrow.
Yeah.
That's true.
If there's no panya today, can there be panya tomorrow?
Wow, see?
That's a bit scary, isn't it?
Does that ring the bell?
When it comes down to anything that involves step A, step B, that is taking one away from the development of understanding of the present moment. There's no steps to the arising of some awareness of presently occurring Dhamma. I think of it more as there's certain food or nutrition for the arising of understanding.
Last time when we were here, you were referring to the cheating dharmas, vanchaka dharmas, and in particular you were referring a few times to the patikula, the first cheating dharmas. And at the time I wasn't really clear about what patikula was, but then I checked vanchaka dharmas. And for example, the first cheating dharma is... One reads that it's good to have detachment and to look at the bodies and alien bodies and everything without disgust. So one may kid oneself that one isn't looking with disgust.
I think anything which is sweet is vanchaka.
I was just wondering why in particular you were stressing the patikula dharmas, any reason?
Because it's said like the arising and falling away. In another word, we can set it so patikula. The arising and falling away, the characteristic of conditioned realities.
Yes.
It seems so nice, but actually, since it arises and falls away, so it's a kind of patikula.
It's not nice at all. It's foul, really.
So it depends on panya, too.
Right, because one may appreciate that, or it may be attachment in disguise, because one knows it's good to think that way. So one has to be very honest about what panya there is and what it really appreciates and sees. Like one may say or think, oh, one's really interested in the Dharma, and one appreciates time is very precious. But actually,
for oneself,
often it's just one's really very interested in attachment or getting something for oneself.
We were discussing wrong view yesterday, and I have a couple of questions. One is the comment you made about ditti must have its own object. And I was wondering if you could expand on that a little. And also, I came across a reference, I think, from a commentary to a sutta about wrong view based on conceit.
It can be conditioned.
Yeah, conceit can be a condition for wrong view.
There was a question on DSG.
This morning?
Maybe this morning or yesterday about how there can still be conceit without wrong view. Is that the question?
Well, they were quoting a sutta this morning from Kesara about conceit. You must have conceit to eradicate conceit, and you must have craving to eradicate craving.
Why would you have to have craving in order
to
eradicate craving?
Well, there's a
craving,
discussion,
et cetera, et cetera.
Current discussion going on.
Yeah, but why would you have to have it?
Well, that's what I thought.
If there is none, we don't have to do anything.
Yes.
So we can talk about conceit conditioning wrong view, or wrong view conditioning conceit.
By different panchayas,
yeah? By different
panchayas. Nisya and other panchayas.
Does that mean that a person who has a lot of conceit may also have a lot of wrong view?
It depends.
Sort of thing? Would it be correct to say that conceit commonly conditions wrong view? No.
Anything can.
Yeah.
Avijja and all other akusala.
Right. But I am confused about conceit and wrong view. Yes.
But if you know that all akusala can condition the other akusala.
Yesterday we had a discussion about samatha and selection of object. And this is a quote from your Cambodia talks. It's true that in the development of samatha, the object of meditation is selected according to someone's character. So by this, you just mean by accumulations.
By some people, breath, by
some
people, this.
Yes, just by accumulations. Mm-hmm. Because people read this and they think that you mean in samatha development, they have to select an object rather than understanding. It's just by accumulation.
As there is no understanding, it's the selection of the accumulation in the self.
Or they give the example of Buddha selecting objects for people.
If he didn't know about accumulation,
right,
how could he say that?
And also it's by conditions and understanding of accumulations, not by any self-choosing or selecting.
Even at the moment of choosing, it's by accumulation.
Yeah.
Does gamma mean accumulations? For example, accumulations pass on in each citta, so to speak. Well, what about the gamma that is performed? There must be some connection between that action and then somewhere down the track, vipaka. Does the gamma move on in each citta like accumulations?
Move on or gone completely?
Well, it's gone completely.
But since
something,
it has happened. What about the next moment, which is conditioned by the previous one?
Well, the accumulations are one of the big conditions, exactly the big condition, for what gamma action is going to happen.
It does mean that it's like something that you put here and then pass it to another moment. What about putting a grain of salt in and it's only salt? Where is it? It's there or it's not there? Can you see? Can you taste it? But it's there. So even it's gone, but it's there as what is left. Not as it has arisen again and performs its function, but as condition to be salty of that degree. You cannot say that there is no salty taste in this after you have put that in. But you cannot touch it. You cannot take it.
It's not there to be found, but it is there.
But it is there, yeah, okay.
And especially when they are all nama. So the powerful of even that which has fallen away can be conditioned for the next moment to arise.
How do you say accumulation in Bali term?
Any word that you can understand the characteristic of reality.
This is asava.
Why do you ask for Pali term?
Because there is English and there is Thai, but I'd like to know in Pali term if it's something
but
like asava.
But if you cannot understand the Pali term, but you can understand the Thai word, what is better? For example, in past lives, we might have spoken Pali word all day long, like in Savatthi or Banaras. But today, we cannot understand. But we can understand reality, no matter in what language. The sanya, which marks the characteristic of reality, is different from marking just the word or the sound. That's why, no matter in what language, once one have accumulated the understanding of realities, as soon as one have heard, there could be right understanding of that. So, for example, I can understand sat som, but I don't know the Pali term for it.
Just getting back to sanya for a minute, we discussed earlier about its characteristic, and then yesterday, which I also find difficult, you mentioned the role of sanya in not seeing things as they are, mm-hmm. right? Now, this also I find very difficult to just grasp. It must be wrong view and ignorance that is the culprit for not seeing things as they are. Why sanya?
Sanya arises with wrong view,
yes.
But wrong view might not arise with sanya.
Right.
Like Sotapanna okay. doesn't have wrong view at all, yeah. but Sotapanna has sanya,
yes.
which is attached to the objects, but without wrong view.
Right. So that, in a way, is saying that even though wrong view has been eradicated by the Sotapanna, yet because of sanya, it still has some influence.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because of the accumulation of being attached to sensuous object is there.
So it's like a vehicle for other wrong view and ignorance to be carried. So even when a person in fact is fully enlightened, is it sanya that still has a role in carrying on the mannerisms that they have, different mannerisms that make up the personality?
Vasana.
Otherwise it's difficult to see why sanya is given such great emphasis as a separate kanda.
Right.
You talk about its function of marking an object and that sort of thing, or remembering, well, it just doesn't seem to justify the prominence that it's given.
In some references, which I can't find handy, to Kaya Sankara and Chitta Sankara. Chitta Sankara refers just to Vedana and Sanya.
And other Jetasikas too.
I see. Chitta
Sankara.
It says in the commentaries that just refers to Vedana and Sanya. You mean.
And also others.
And also
too.
Others. So they're
yeah.
implied. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Not just that.
I see. Okay.
Impossible.
That's why one has to read and consider each
right.
word because.
Right.
Easy it
yeah,
to
it's
be
not just
misled.
Limited by
no.
the word.
So even if it says it in the commentary, one has to really consider what's meant.
Just another general question about wrong view and wrong practice. We talk about wrong view of the practice as leading to wrong practice. We think that we have to go and sit in a quiet place and develop samatha and that sort of thing.
Is that wrong view?
I think it's wrong view.
Mm-hmm. Is that wrong practice?
Yes.
Not yet. Just wrong view, which will lead to
will
accompany
citta.
Right.
Yeah. How about wrong view of self, though? Can we say that leads to wrong practice? Can we divide wrong view into the kinds of wrong view of self and then the wrong view about practice? Yes.
And wrong view of sakkaya titti? Only this one. Or also all conditioned realities as attanu titti?
Right. But there must be a sense in which sakkaya ditthi leads to wrong practice also, is there?
Mm-hmm. Because the development of right understanding will eradicate wrong view of self.
Yes. Yeah.
So that all other wrong view will be eradicated too. Otherwise, as long as there is still the wrong view of self, there can never be the eradication of wrong views.
Could you explain a bit more about the connection between wrong view of self and wrong view about the practice?
Okay, when there is intention to be aware.
Yes, I see.
Yeah. Nobody can stop that.
Mm.
It's conditioned.
Mm.
But Panya can see or understand even that moment as not self.
Mm.
But if Panya does not arise, then it's Silapatta Brahmasa, which hasn't been eradicated yet. This is very interesting. Avicca and Panya, see? People would like to have Panya, but doesn't want to have less Avicca. Just
well,
want
they
to.
They think they do, but not
no,
really.
No, they just don't want to know. They just want to have or to get Panya. But without having less Avicca or have more Panya, that cannot be done. For example, right now, it seems like there is interest in the teachings. Of what level or at what level? Is it at level of not having sati or just only kusla moment to understand reality? theoretically, many levels of avijja as well, or many levels of hiri and ottapa. When there is interest of studying, it is a level of hiri and ottapa, not to know, not to hear, not to understand. But at moment when there is no right awareness, no hiri and ottapa of that level, and avijja is there. So instead of wanting to have more panya, what about have less avijja instead?
The Buddha gave example of the white cloth that you have to clean the cloth to make it clean before you have it dry, so it can absorb better. If the cloth is still dirty, then you have it dry, so it won't absorb the color. So same as avijja, that you try to purify, get rid of avijja.
And what about the dirty, the very dirty cloth? One has to know how dirty it is first.
That's mean dirty cloth.
Dirty mind.
Dirty mind, yeah.
Okay.
You're realizing it's dirty rather than one step back from that, not even realizing
it. Because the cloth we can wash, but what about the mind? The dirtiness of the mind cannot be compared with rupa or the cloth, much more than that. Much, much more. And avijja is there, see? And what can clean it is panya, only panya.
Panya is personal for the brain.
It's personal.
Whatever you call it.
Rinso.
Ajax.
Rinso. That's right. Yeah. Well, back up the other end of the scale. Go to Dayatupatanyana. Knowledge of fearsomeness and fearfulness.
Dayatupatanyana.
What is that fearsomeness and fearfulness?
What is fearful? The most fearful one.
What is to be feared?
Or what is so very fearful? Its characteristic is very fearful. Now.
Well, I was going to say it.
The arising and falling away of reality. Yeah.
So that's knowing.
Understanding the fearfulness of reality.
Seeing realities that is so very fearful, arising and falling away.
It wouldn't be that feeling of fearfulness. It would be
it's an understanding.
Jnana is panya.
We read about past knowledge. It has four functions of penetrating the truth, abandoning the origination, and so on. Sotapatti Magga Citta, what is abandoned? Can one just say the gross kilesa are abandoned?
All the cetasikas which accompany the lokuttara perform the function of abandoning.
What is actually abandoned? Just the panya, gross,
which experiences nibbana at that moment, abandoning all the level of kusala which condition the birth in woeful planes.
And abandon here means eradicate.
The panya.
Yes. But because we know that lobha is not eradicated, dosa conceit is not eradicated, so eradicating refers to the eradicating of the effect of past karma and particular akusala, the particularly strong akusala.
The akusala, that level of panya can
eradicate.
So the makkha eradicate attachment to sensuous objects?
No.
See?
But the level of attachment that would lead to breaking of precepts, for example.
For example, the viruti cetasika arises. Whenever it arises, it abstains from ill deeds or ill speech temporarily. But when it arises with sotapattimakkhacitta, it eradicates what would arise after that. Completely, perfectly, never again. By the panya, which experiences nibbana, which is different from all conditioned realities, can condition such eradication.